What we have found and discovered over about almost 7 years is that a lot of those things are settled and handled and cared for in community,
yeah,
with the people they're doing life with. And so I would say one of my major learnings coming from the life of a child in ministry that was more the Sunday school model versus the model that we have adopted and have been a part of is that I have seen that a lot of the demands of ministry that my dad and our family experienced has been mitigated somewhat just by more people being the body,
yeah,
caring and loving one another. That has really been beneficial.
And I want to welcome you to this week's Pastors Forum. I'm Byron Tyler. So glad we could get together. It's always a pleasure for me to sit down each week with an area pastor and share their heart and their vision for ministry, what they see about connecting with our city as it deals with kingdom work, sharing the love of Jesus Christ. And this week, I'm really excited to welcome Jonathan Dunn. We've been trying to do this interview for a couple of weeks. We were on schedule, Jonathan, to have it, and then you had to cancel because you were sick.
Yep.
And the very next week, I had to cancel you because I was sick. So I think we're on the rebound, and we're kind of recovering now from our sickness. But
yes.
Anyway, even pastors get sick sometimes.
We do. We do. Yeah.
You're the pastor at River City Church, and I really love the name and how it connects with the community because we're the River City.
That's right.
Tell me about River City Church. You're a church that meets in the Bartlett area, I believe. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we are going on our seventh year, Byron. We started a little over 7 years ago as a community group, a small group in my home. Grew up as a pastor's kid in Southern Baptist life. That was my life. Never wanted to be a pastor, but helped my dad and helped my dad actually start a church back before it was cool to start churches.
Yeah.
You know, that's when I helped him.
Really wasn't, you didn't want to be a pastor because you saw inconsistencies, and your dad was one thing on Sunday morning and different around the house. It wasn't that kind of thing.
It wasn't. It was just the grind of ministry. And truthfully, for me, I was just kind of wired for business and enjoyed business. And so I built a business career, helped my dad start a church in the Bartlett community. And then sometime after about 7 or 8 years, just really felt God impressing upon my heart that, yeah, I'd been building this business career, but he was putting a passion on my heart for me reaching people that were not currently being reached. And so, yeah, a little over 7 years ago, we started with a vision, started with a passion to start a new church, and it began with about 12 people, six couples in my living room.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
You said something there I think is kind of key that I don't want to pass over. Hmm. You said the grind of ministry.
Yeah.
I want to kind of camp here for a second if we can, because I really believe that a lot of folks go through the grind of their life, trying to get through Monday, just trying to get through the week, their job they don't like, or dealing with a family situation that is really tough and they've been living with for a long time and they don't know how to get through. And yet, pastors deal with the grind of ministry.
Yes, yes. You know, I've seen it from really, you could say, three angles. As a pastor's child growing up with a household, there were five boys, I was the oldest, seeing what ministry was like on my parents and their marriage and just family in general and what that was like. I've seen it as well as being a pastor now, also being a church planter. And then I'm seeing it now and just trying to lead my own home through this. So I've seen it from just different perspectives and also just being a layperson in the church, helping my dad while working in the business sector and just all these different perspectives I've seen. And so what folks don't realize a lot of times is that ministry, it is a beast in and of itself. It really is the best way I can say it. And even though I grew up as a pastor's son, even though I helped my dad with a church as a bivocational role, until I was in the seat of being a lead pastor, I did not realize that it's the most difficult work I've ever done.
I think as you look at leadership positions and those who are on a lower level of leadership, when they look up, you know, it's always easy to pass judgment or to complain or to say what they could do better.
Yeah.
But until you actually get behind the reins and you're in control.
That's right.
And realize the pressures that can mount sometimes.
And one of the things that was really beneficial for us was going into this and starting River City Church was because of the vantage point I'd had of being a pastor's son, but also working with my dad in ministry of a church plant, is seeing a lot of things that really that I saw that was the grind of ministry, the good of ministry, but also the grind. Is I went into it, I think, as best as I could with my eyes wide open. I went into it with some really deep-rooted convictions for my marriage, for my home life, and even for the way that we would lead at River City Church and engage people that have stuck with me throughout this journey to this point.
Well, John, give us some examples of that grind that help you formulate these things that you wanted to implement in your family and life and ministry that you learn from as a result of those grinds?
Yeah, I think the first thing was is just a healthy marriage is absolutely vital as being a pastor of a church. I can see, though, that how ministry, because men and ladies that go into the ministry, they go into it really because they seemingly feel called to do it, but also they enjoy it. And it's very easy to get lost in ministry sometimes. And so knowing when to turn it on and when to turn it off as far as having margin, having time with your spouse as well as with your family. And so I went into this with some really, really deep-rooted convictions that my marriage was going to come before the church.
Two, those boundaries that you try to set up are coming against the expectations of those in your church sometimes, their demands or their hurts and the things that they're going through. And sometimes I would think that it would demand that you have to make certain sacrifices, obviously, but that there are times that you will have to maybe leave a family event to take care of a really desperate situation. Maybe somebody just lost their loved one or some kind of deep pain. A child is caught up in drugs and maybe they've just been arrested and taken to jail and the parents don't know what to do. They need some support at that moment. There's those 901 calls, I guess.
There are. I would say, too, Byron, that what I discovered was when we started River City Church, we did so in community. Our church did not start with a big splash with trying to put on a show or a service, whatever you want to call it. We started in community, and we grew from there into multiple community groups, and that's been our DNA. That's been the core of who we are as a church and as an organization. What that has done is that for the health of our church and the care in our church, is it has kept a lot of that having to rise up to the surface to the leadership team where we feel the responsibility to have to provide care to everyone when they go through everything. We're there for them when they need us. But what we have found and discovered over about almost 7 years is that a lot of those things are settled and handled and cared for in community with the people they're doing life with. And so I would say one of my major learnings coming from the life of a child in ministry that was more the Sunday school model versus the model that we have adopted and have been a part of is that I have seen that a lot of the demands of ministry that my dad and our family experienced has been mitigated somewhat just by more people being the body, caring and loving one another. That has really been beneficial.
One of the ways that my pastor looks at this, and as we talk about more, say, traditional churches, as you mentioned, you came out of a Southern Baptist background. I like the way my pastor talks about this because he says, we're trying to meet the culture where it is with the gospel, not compromising the gospel in any way.
Right.
But we're really standing on the shoulders of what tradition and those values that lay for us. We're not competing or trying to say we're better. We're just trying to be relevant where we are today.
That's right.
Was that where you find yourself?
Yes, and I believe that today what we're seeing is a major shift in the way that people in culture are looking to church. As we all, both know, increasingly there are more and more people moving away from church, more and more de-churched, unchurched people, people trying to recover from what they may refer to as a bad church experience. And what we're seeing is that people are drawn towards a true place to belong, a community. That is what people really are longing for. And increasingly, they're moving away from the desire, the draw to a show. They're more so wanting, if I don't have a place to belong, I don't have a community, then that's something that's a big, big piece that we're finding. And sometimes they can't even really put it into words. They don't really know. As they kick the tires, as they feel their way around, that's really what they're searching for.
You know, I was just thinking as you were describing this, Jonathan, about today's culture, and we're seeing, you know, a lot of division and protest in society about rights and things, and there seems to be maybe a longing. These people really don't have community. A lot of them don't have Jesus, you know. So as you describe the community, especially the community of faith, and how the body is to minister to itself, it's designed so we can deal with issues of race and deal with issues. You know, all these issues can be, I think, resolved in community.
I fully agree. And I think that's the thing, too, is that when some churches have become, in my opinion, too political and they speak into politics too much, and what we know at River City Church, and this is true probably in every church, or there are people there that would disagree with me politically. They would disagree with me on certain issues, but we don't make those the main things. We see it as we are followers of Jesus. We're brought together as brothers and sisters, and we're here to love one another, care for one another, and encourage each other in their journey, enjoying God and building that relationship with Him.
And a perfect example is you talk about Jesus and His 12 disciples. I mean, the most diverse group of people, politically speaking, religiously speaking, I mean, they were from all walks.
Exactly right.
But through Him, they became one.
That's exactly right. I've learned a lot. There have been a few influences in my life that I've seen as lead pastors and others that walk this fine line of being careful to not make things that are really just open-handed issues, closed-handed issues, and knowing how to differentiate between them to keep unity in the church and to lead people well and to teach people to love each other. And as I say oftentimes, Byron, is that love is messy. People love 1 Corinthians 13 when it's about them, but it's difficult when it's about you being patient towards someone or kind towards someone. It's messy, and so it's difficult.
A place, a community where you've got differing beliefs, and even whether it be political or whatever, sometimes you follow other friends, and they might tweet out something or post something on social media that's totally opposite your conviction about something that eternally doesn't really matter.
That's right.
You know? But it gives us an opportunity to really show Christ's love.
Absolutely. And I think, too, we have to be careful as followers of Christ and as churches and as leaders to not create an insider culture and just where churches kind of close in on themselves and where everyone wants to be cookie cutter and everyone has to believe the same things and agree with the same things and those types of things. Because once that begins happening, then what you find is that you're no longer able to reach people, which is what we're called to do. And Byron, what I have found, and even through discussions as of late, I've seen where churches tend to have one of two mentalities. The leadership has more of a separate from culture mentality or an engage culture. And as Christians, I believe it's like missionaries, we're called to engage culture. We're to engage people where they are, not separate from culture, but to engage culture. And what we're seeing today is that more and more people are walking away from the churches, at least what I'm seeing, from churches that where they have taken the position of we are to separate from culture. And they just become very insider. And this is where a lot of the unhealth, in my opinion, starts springing up.
You know, that's a great word there, Jonathan. And just recently, I was downtown. And oftentimes when you're downtown, you might come across a homeless person. Hmm. And it's in our nature, even as a believer, just to say, well, should I cross the street or turn my head? But if you come face to face and they just stop in front of me and say, hey, can you help me? Can you give me some money? You know, you're confronted with that.
Yeah.
In that situation recently, that happened to me. Hmm. I honestly didn't have $1, any material cash. I just had a credit card, you know.
Right.
And I was getting back. I was with somebody else, and we were trying to get back to the office. And yet, I just felt like I got to do something. And I don't know if it means anything to him, but I just said, honestly, sir, I don't even have $1 in my billfold, but can I pray with you? And he smiled and said, please. And I just put my arm on his shoulder and just started praying and just asking God to meet his needs and provide for him. And thank God for the beautiful sunshine we were experiencing together. And just thank God. But anyway, and pray for that situation. And, you know, he looked at me and he smiled. He said, thank you so much for praying for me. And I'm not looking for brownie points. The point I'm trying to make is 9 times out of 10, I try to avoid those situations because I feel uncomfortable.
Sure.
But we just have got to be real with people. I was honest. I didn't have a dollar. I really didn't.
Right.
But I still wanted to let him know I cared about him as a person.
And I think to your point, just on a grander scale, when we are engaging culture and reaching people where they're at, which is it is messy. It is uncomfortable. You never know what you're going to get, is that we have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's what we have to be and understand and learn. And this is just a big learning of mine, to lean into the Spirit of God and allow him to give us the wisdom on what to say and what to do to reach those folks. And most people, again, Byron, it goes back to people are looking for people that will genuinely love them, not try to fix them, love them.
Our time on this program is slipping away. We're going to have to say goodbye, but I want to hang around and do a part two for next week, if that's okay.
That sounds good.
Well, before we say goodbye, how can folks learn more about River City Church?
We're all over social media, but probably one of the easiest ways is going to our website, rivercitymemphis.org, and you can find us on Facebook, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, we're out there, but rivercitymemphis.org, you can find out more about our church there.
rivercitymemphis.org. Friends, please check it out, learn about service times and other details about the ministry of the church. We're going to say goodbye now, but pick it up next week with Jonathan Dunn. Thanks again, Jonathan, for stopping by.
Thank you, Byron.
Friends, we'll talk to you then. Hope you'll join us. I'm Byron Tyler. Bye-bye now. Have a great week.